Today is Ash Wednesday, and the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of Joel. Thus saith the Lord, be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, patient and rich in mercy, and ready to repent of the evil. Who knoweth but he will return and forgive and leave a blessing behind him, sacrifice and libation to the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Sion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather together the people, sanctify the church, assemble the ancients, gather together the little ones and them that suck at the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth from his bed, and the bride out of her bedchamber. Between the porch and the altar, the priests, the Lord's ministers, shall weep and shall say, spare, O Lord, spare thy people, and give not thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Why should they say among the nations, where is their God? The Lord hath been zealous for his hand, and hath spared his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be filled with them. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, saith the Lord Almighty. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, who disfigure their faces in order to appear to men as fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou dost fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, so that thou mayest not seem fasting by men, but by thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who is in secret will reward thee. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where rust and moth consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth consumes, nor thieves break in and steal. For where thy treasure is, there also will thy heart be. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One could say that it is a hallmark of the human condition from time immemorial, no matter what age a person comes from or what nation or race, whether they're poor or rich, men are greatly concerned with what the future holds. And we try our best to predict it in one way or another. We try to predict storms. We try to predict economic crises. We try to predict future sicknesses and prevent them. And so what Holy Mother the Church does at the beginning of this most solemn season of the year is she answers that wish for everybody. She gives us a little glimpse into the future. Remember, man, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. And that's the destiny of all of us. We learned earlier this month with the Feast of the Purification, we heard Father speak about sacramentals and the importance of sacramentals. I won't get into all the details and repeat what he said, other than to say it's an outward sign like a sacrament that we can see, we can sense. And similar to a sacrament, with a sacrament we see this outward sign, this material thing, and it tells us of the invisible grace specific to that sacrament that is being given to that soul. So we heard about the external sign of the candle and how it represents Christ's divinity and humanity and the hypostatic union and so on. And with ashes, we have the clear sign from the words of the priest when he administers them, "Thou art dust, and unto dust you shall return." It's a reminder of our mortality, a memento mori. But if you look closer at this sign, it tells you a little bit more. Remember where these ashes come from. They are from the palms on Palm Sunday from the previous year. They're burnt down and turned to ashes. And what is the church trying to teach us with this? It takes this symbol of triumphant celebration from Palm Sunday, this triumphant procession. It takes this thing of glory and reduces it to ashes. There was a custom in the Catholic Church for over 500 years that when a new pope was elected, and in his first glorious procession to the throne of Peter in St. Peter's Basilica, surrounded by all this pomp and ceremony and hymns and chant and so on, dressed in beautiful vestments, this procession was stopped 3 times. And the papal master of ceremonies would approach this seat that the Pope was being carried on. He'd approach this seat with a piece of dried flax. And he would ignite this flax, he would light it on fire, and hold it up to the Pope, and it would burn to ashes before his eyes. And he would say to the Pope, "Pater Sancte, sic transiat gloria mundi." Holy Father, thus passes the glory of the world. Burns very bright for a second, and then ash. To remind the Pope, it's not about all the celebration. That's not what counts in the end. So we see in the liturgy this symbol of glory and jubilation and celebration on Palm Sunday reduced to ash to mark us. And this practice, in varying forms, has been used by many prudent, wise leaders throughout history. The Roman generals, when they were triumphant, and they would enter back into Rome, this triumphant march, they would be assigned a man to hold the laurel wreath above their head as they went through all the celebration and trumpets and so on. And he would whisper in the general's ear, "Memento homo, remember you're just a man. This doesn't last." The Byzantine emperors, they had an interesting practice. At their coronation ceremony, once again, greatest celebration, they would be approached by several stonemasons with different examples of stone, and he would choose the one that he wanted for his tomb. To remind him, it's fleeting. Only a moment. As a famous Spanish Baroque painter named Juan Valdez, and he painted this very moving picture called Finis Gloria Mundi, the end of worldly glory. And you see the tomb of a bishop. You see his beautiful vestments embroidered in gold, and his crozier encrusted in diamonds and jewels, and the ornate tomb, and it's all covering parched bones. And above the tomb, you see the hand of Christ holding a scale, pierced by the nail, holding a scale. And on one side, you see all these representations of the allurements of the world. And on the other side, you see all these devotions. You see an image of the Sacred Heart and the rosary and the crucifix and the Bible. And on this side, it says, it takes nothing more than this. Meaning, it takes nothing more than this to be lost. And it only takes this on the other side. It only takes this to be saved. Now, as Catholics, we can be tempted as we enter into this solemn season, we can be tempted to feel gloomy, depressed. This great season of penance. We have to look at ourselves and our sinful life and so on. But this is not what it's supposed to be at all. The great message, especially the message in this gospel, lay up for your treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth consume. This great lesson should give us joy, peace. For a person who has their treasures in the wrong place and their heart in the wrong place, yes, of course, it feels gloomy. We feel a little depressed because we're being reminded that all these things that we care so much about will be taken away from us. So if that's where our heart is, yes, our heart is downcast. But for a Catholic, this is the time when we are freed. This is a season of liberation from all these attachments of the world. Because a Catholic is supposed to have his priorities correct. So the more he's reminded, the sufferings of this world are past, and all material possessions, this doesn't bother him at all. That's not where his treasures are. And this great lesson of the season, and especially this first day of Ash Wednesday, this lesson that if our heart is attached to perishable things, it will perish with them. But if our heart is attached to everlasting things, then that joy no man can take from you. And this great lesson has made saints. What a happy season. Look at St. Francis of Assisi. Gave up all the wealth in his career as a merchant. Gave up everything. And was happy. Look at St. Alphonsus Liguori. He had a promising career as a lawyer. He was very successful. Then one case changed it all. He made a mistake and was humiliated. And after that, he swore it all off. The way he described himself before, I was living in the midst of the world without God. I followed its maxims. I sought only its esteem. I loved only its pleasures. And look at the great works he's given us after his conversion. Or what about St. Mary Magdalene, the great model of this season, the model of penance? Because while so many people of the world are so concerned with what the future holds, and they busy themselves with many things, like Martha, we are supposed to follow the example of Mary and choose the better path. Prayer and contemplation and penance. This is the whole point of this season. As you've heard before, from many theologians and from this pulpit, as you've heard before, it's believed that Mary Magdalene made up for all the innumerable sins of her life in 3 hours. The 3 hours at the foot of the cross. What could we do in 40 days? We could be a chapel of saints. So know, brethren, this is a season of great hope, great joy. This is the season when the floodgates of our Lord's grace are open to us. His pardon, his mercy are available to us at our fingertips. For a glutton, it's a very sad thing that he has to fast. For an impious man or woman, it's a depressing thing to go to more masses, say more prayers, do more spiritual reading, attend the Stations of the Cross. But for a Catholic, it's our retreat from the world. We're at peace here. Finally at peace. We leave our troubles at the door. Because coupled with humility is great joy. Because it is humility, remembering that we are dust, that invites God's mercy and forgiveness. Remember the story of the Ninevites that were referenced in the Blessing of the Ashes. This people that was so godless and corrupt and evil that God planned to wipe them off the face of the earth. But they put on sackcloth and ashes, did penance, and God was so pleased by this that they were spared any punishment. What great hope we have, what consolation we have in that. God alone knows how many troubles and difficulties were spared in our own life through a devout Lent. So while our body is being weakened by these fasts and penances, mortifications, our soul is being constantly strengthened through increased devotion, preparing us more and more for this great glorious day. Just as Christ passed through the Passion before he was glorified, so we pass through Lent before the glory of the resurrection, the renewal of our baptismal vows. Putting on the new man. So we're given this reminder of our limited time. From the moment before our creation, when we did not exist at all, apart from the mind of God, from that moment to the moment where we return to the dust from which we sprang, we only have a little bit of time. Just like the grains of sand in the hourglass is flowing right now. So let's use it. Let's use this season to the best of our ability and with the help of God, realizing that every day is an act of mercy from God. Every day is a call to conversion of life. Every hour a chance to grow in sanctity. And slowly but surely, as we go through the season, we rid ourselves of these attachments, empty our vessel. And as the Imitation of Christ says, when Christ finds our vessel empty, he will surely fill it with himself. May God bless you.